Aguila Sale intends to run for presidency himself, so I doubt that he had any reason to strengthen or to do his probably strongest opponent in the East, Khalifa Haftar, a favor. Saif's candidacy, if it is approved by the HNEC, which is far from sure, would certainly be a challenge for the Libyan society, keeping his leading role in fighting the revolution in 2011 in mind. Many Libyans who have served and fought in the war against the Gaddafi regime did not forget about this. It is difficult to say how much support Saif al-Islam really has in the Libyan society. But even if he makes it into the second round, I don't think he could win, as there would be broadly a rally of most of the other candidates against him. Regarding Khalifa Haftar, it could well be that he makes it into the runoff. But the presidential elections will be decided in the greater Tripoli-Misrata area, the most populous areas of Libya, and I doubt that Haftar has sufficient support there, and I also doubt that he would be able to fake the elections there. Aguila Sale was active in public as a chair of the House of Representatives after September 24, so he does probably not fulfill the criteria of Article 12 of the controversial electoral law, demanding from candidates to resign from public offices 3 months before the elections. So I guess the HNEC will reject his candidacy. The same is the case for the serving Prime Minister Abdulhamid Dabeiba, if he intends to run. This would be in contradiction to the very same electoral law. But even if Dabeiba argues, and he could argue, that there was a vote of confidence against him on September 22nd, so before the September 24th, by the House of Representatives, there is still his, and I would say probably even more important, written commitment before his election by the Libya Political Dialogue Forum in February, where he promised, in line with the demands of the roadmap of this LPDF, not to run in the upcoming elections. The UN Security Council has endorsed the roadmap in a resolution which makes it legally binding. The rationale of this paragraph in the roadmap was that the interim government, which is entrusted to prepare and oversee the elections, should be impartial. There should be no conflict of interest whatsoever. So if the Dabeiba would be allowed to run, this could lead to some major troubles, as this would undermine the roadmap, the foundation of the whole current peace process. Saif al-Islam Gaddafi would certainly lead to a split of the country. I guess that if he dares to conduct the campaigning even just in Tripoli or in the greater Tripoli area, he would be subject to assassination attempt. He is certainly the most controversial on the whole list. And if he makes it into the second round, there could very well be some riots even before the second round takes place.
With these types of candidates, can you expect anything good to come out of these elections? And could this election process end up in installing a new stable system of governance that will open the doors for a prosperous future for the Libyan people?
Apart from those mentioned, there are fortunately many other candidates covering the whole political and social spectrum of Libya. Among the favorites for presidency, I would say, are also less controversial persons like the former Minister of the Interior, Fatih Bashagha, the former Deputy Prime Minister Ahmed Maitig, both from Misrata or strong connections to Misrata, and the head of the Reviving Libya movement, the Sufi scholar and businessman Arif Ali Nayed, as well as several others. It is really up to the Libyans to select now, and they have the chance to select the right candidates they want to have for the runoff in February, because I strongly believe there will be a runoff. As there are more than 30 candidates, it is highly unlikely that any of them will reach the required 50% plus one vote in the first round on December 24. From my point, the best choice for the Libyans would be to elect a non-controversial, well-respected person who was preferably also not engaged in recent domestic politics. But again, let me underline, it is their choice, and the international community has to respect their choice.